You know, we are going on our fifth week of legislative session starting this week. As you all know, the Capitol was closed last week for major electrical repair, but we are back. The work didn't stop last week. I don't know how many hours you guys spent at the governor's mansion, but I know it was many, many days that you were there, so sometimes still in the nighttime, both with the Republicans and the Democrats that we met with. But it's time now to bring our special session to an end, to bring it to a resolution so that all of us can move on. Throughout the summer and well into the fall, including the last four weeks, we have spent hundreds of hours negotiating, talking about the effects on our state budget of the loss of revenue of the $215 million, plus the federal matching funds and how it would affect many of our core services of our state, especially our three different agencies that pertain to health and human services and mental health, and how we could close the budget gap and put our state on a sustainable, stable path forward for success. And to find a way to put our state on a sustainable course, we had to look at many, many different ideas, as you have reported. But it's important to remember where we have been as a state. And we went through a big national recession in 2009. We gradually climbed out of that. But then in 2014, we hit the energy slump, and we saw the price of oil drop dramatically from $107 a barrel down one point to $27 a barrel. We saw 75% of our oil rigs that were laid down. And so we began a process of adjusting our state budget, trying to find efficiencies and eliminating waste, consolidating many of our state services, commissions, and boards. And one of the charts I want to show you is that we've had a lot of people say, well, let's continue to cut. Let's just cut more. Well, this is a chart of our state services and how many employees we have since 2008. And as you can see, since 2008, we have cut over 4,100 state employees, or they have retired since 2008 alone. So we have made efficiencies in our state government. This other chart shows, if you could show them, shows from 2009 to 2017 the various agencies and the cuts that have been made to those important services. We've always tried to protect core services like education, health, human services, corrections, public safety, transportation as much as possible. But you can see that some of our state agencies have taken well over 40% and sometimes up to 50% in funding cuts over the years. And I wanted to point that out because there's been many different comments made that we should just continue to cut, we should continue to find efficiencies, and we will always want to do that as elected officials, especially the Republican Party. That's important to us, to find ways to make things more efficient, more effective, and save taxpayers money. But there comes a point to where we got to think about what type of government do we want to have, what type of services do we want to provide for our citizens, what do we want our brand as a state to look like, and how do we continue what we like to refer to that's very important to Oklahoma, and that is the Oklahoma standard. What is the Oklahoma standard? Do we want it to be redefined as a state that cuts many of the state services that are essential to our citizens, or do we want to be a state of excellence? Do we want to invest in our future? Do we want to keep moving our state forward? We've had some great success in economic development and job creation investment. It's broken record numbers over the last couple of years for job creation. But you do have to provide for essential services for our state. So as you're aware, I gave all the parties, both Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate, all the different ideas that they have been discussing, and my office have been discussing with them. We talked about them for hundreds of hours between all the different bodies that have been involved, and we have been negotiating. It's been very difficult to find agreement, but we can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. We have to find a resolution to close the $215 million budget gap and to put our state on a sustainable, stable path forward. We can't keep having budget shortfalls year after year because we need to fix the structure of our state budget. So we are finding a way, and you've all heard about the cuts that the various agencies are facing, whether it is mental health, whether it's Department of Human Services, whether it's our health care authority, Medicaid. And I could go on and on about the different things that we've been seeing as ramifications of the lack of finding an agreement on the $215 million gap, and the effects are real. So the question still remains, what do we want to do and how do we want to find that path forward for our state? So I'm pleased today to be joined by the President Pro Tem of the Senate, Mike Schultz, and also our Speaker of the House of Representatives, Charles McCall, along with many members who drove into Oklahoma City today to join me here as we make an announcement that we have been able to find an agreement between the House and Senate Republicans on a way forward to fill our budget gap, to fill the budget hole, and most importantly, to find a way to put our state on a stable path forward for success, and also to be able to provide our teachers a pay raise, which is very important, I know, to all Oklahomans in our state. The agreement addresses the immediate $215 million budget gap that was caused by the loss of cigarette revenue. It also has an option for what I wanted, which is long-term budget solutions moving forward. I said a couple of weeks ago that we could not, and I said a few moments ago, that we could not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This package is not perfect, but it is very good. And I think it is something that all parties should support, both the House and the Senate, the Republicans and Democrats. It contains a lot of what everyone has talked about. It may not include everything, but it includes a lot of what everyone has said was important for our state. We are still working on the details of the agreement. We had long meetings yesterday and all throughout the weekend and all last week, even though the Capitol was closed. And we will be incorporating those various details in final bills that will be taken up by the House and later by the Senate and the Joint Committee on Appropriations. And I want to tell you about some of the highlights in that. It will include a $1.50 cigarette tax on our cigarettes. It will include a 6 cents fuel tax increase. I think all of us know that we're the lowest in our region when it comes to gasoline tax, and we have been for a very, very long time. It has been well over a decade since our fuel tax has been increased. It will also have some revised taxes on our alcoholic beverages. It will restore something that we think is important for those who are lower income. It will restore the earned income tax credit for those who have lower incomes. It will give our teachers a $3,000 pay raise. And we have also included in this package a $1,000 pay raise for our state employees who have not had a pay increase in over 11 years. This agreement is a result, as I said, of hundreds of hours of discussions and meetings, and I really appreciate the legislative leaders who have sat through countless caucus meetings of both parties, and certainly both the House and Senate. Despite the trying circumstances that we experienced this past week and not even being able to get to our offices, I appreciate the very long hours and work and lack of sleep, lack of attending to your private sector businesses of Speaker McCall and President Pro Tem Schultz. We appreciate their work along with all the legislative leaders that are with me, and especially the budget chairmen. Thank you to all the budget chairmen and those who have been on the negotiating team. We're very grateful for your countless hours and working with the many staff here at the Capitol. It is apparent that the rapid changes in our economy have created unsustainable and unpredictable structures within our budget and our revenue collection patterns. So we're here today to put our state on a sustainable path forward. And one of the things I'm excited about with this budget agreement is it doesn't just fix the $215 million hole that we will experience this year and help us match the federal money, which would add up to be about $500 million total between the state and federal money, but it also helps close the gap that will begin when we start the next legislative session in a couple of months in February. We've always known that when we closed the budget gap this past year that we didn't use all recurring revenue, that there were one-time funds in that. But this will help us close that gap going into the legislative session in February, which is one of the things I asked the legislature to consider when we had our special session call. Let me see if there's anything else I need to add. So I think that's the most important parts of the agreement that we've had today. We are going immediately from this meeting, the leaders and I, to the editorial boards in Oklahoma City and Tulsa. So we're actually running a little bit behind getting to those meetings. So we're going to be leaving immediately after that. But you are welcome to send your questions to our media personnel in our various offices. Ms. Speaker, I'd like to ask you to speak now.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. Appreciate all your hard work.
Thank you. Mr. Pro Tem, appreciate you being here. Governor, thank you. Members of the House, members of the Senate, thank you for being here. Media, and the people of the state of Oklahoma. This is a plan that we believe the people of the state of Oklahoma want. People in our state have been telling us that they want a teacher pay raise. They want health care. They want good roads and bridges in this state. And they want the budget to be fixed. I can't really tell you anything further than what the governor's already elaborated on with this plan. I will say this teacher pay raise is significant. A $3,000 teacher pay raise will make us number one in the region in beginning salaries for teachers. That's very important to attract new people, new educators to the education industry of this state. Quite simply, this plan is a good plan, and it boils down to this. If you support health care, if you support education, a teacher pay raise, a pay raise for state employees, restoration of the earned income tax credit for low-income families in this state, you vote yes. If you don't want to vote for those things, you don't think those things are important, you're voting no. It just simply boils down to that. It is time for the state of Oklahoma, our legislative bodies, to address these very atypical and unconventional times. We have to show leadership, and we will move forward, and we will get this done. This plan has something in it for Republicans, this plan has things in it for Democrats, but more importantly, this plan addresses what the people of Oklahoma want us to address at this juncture, at this point in time. I'm proud of this plan. I support this plan. And I support the people of this state. I support the state of Oklahoma. I want us to be the best. This is a great beginning point, moving forward, we are going to answer the call from the people of the state of Oklahoma to address this budget issue once and for all. Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem.
Members of the media, thank you for being here today. I think, without a doubt, we're in unprecedented, uncharted waters in the state of Oklahoma, where we are with the budget, where we are with the process. I'd like to thank the governor and her team, Speaker McCall and his team and his members, the members of the Senate that I'm fortunate enough to represent as their leader, specifically Senator Treat, Senator David, Senator Fields, for their countless hours of working on an agreement that moves Oklahoma not just a little bit forward, but a huge step forward. We're here longer than we want to be here, without a doubt. We would like to resolve this 5 weeks ago. We'd like to resolve this 5 months ago. But unfortunately, the court decision of the summer put us where we are. We spent a long time throwing out a lot of different options, ideas, packages, concepts, to get us to where we are today. Speaker McCall said it well when he said, there's something in this plan for everybody. It's not a perfect plan, but it's a really good plan. It takes care of our three health care agencies that have been at the center of this $215 million shortfall. It puts mental health on the stable path that they need to continue to provide the critical services that they provide. It puts health care authority in a position where they don't have to make dramatic, drastic Medicaid cuts to the providers of Oklahoma. And it puts DHS in a position to keep carrying out the important function that they do in protecting some of Oklahoma's most vulnerable citizens. It also gives immediately a $3,000 teacher pay raise. Doesn't phase it in over a period of years. It gives it immediately. That is a huge step. Speaker McCall said it well when he said that brings us not just to the regional average, but brings us to above the regional average in starting pay for our teachers. Our classroom teachers work hard every day in a very difficult environment. They deserve the pay raise. It puts us on a great foundation moving forward for education in Oklahoma. Our state employees work hard every day doing the things that we need them to do. Been over a decade since we've given them a pay raise. A good step in the right direction of making sure that we're keeping them competitive in the marketplace and rewarding them for the things that they do so well. In our caucus, we've had discussions for many years about addressing the one-time monies that we spend, trying to find a solution to start weaning us off of that. We're not going to get off of it in 1 year, but this is a huge step forward in creating reoccurring revenue to fill the structural deficit that has been plaguing our state, not just for the last 3 years, but for the past decade or more. A huge step in correcting that. We have a tremendous opportunity to continue to move this state in the right path, continue to provide for the core services that we find important for the citizens of this state, to put us on a path for the future that we don't continue to address these budget shortfalls because of the structural deficit. This is a really, really good package. I'm hopeful that both sides of the aisle, Republican, Democrat, rural, urban, House, Senate, will all come together and put a green vote on the board when we have the opportunity this week and pass this and take a tremendous step forward for the state of Oklahoma. The Senate has long been focused on long-term vision for the state of Oklahoma. This is a great step for the long-term vision of Oklahoma. So the people that will succeed me in this building won't have to keep revisiting the things that we've had to revisit over the last decade. We're taking a huge step to correct those. I want to close again with expressing thanks to the governor and her staff, the speaker and his team and members, and the team of the Senate and our members for their dedication to the service of the citizens of the state of Oklahoma. Thank you. Have a great day and look forward to an exciting week. Thank you.